Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-Hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Phoenix to Philly, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So glad you decided to spend your morning with us, everybody. We appreciate it very, very much. Good show coming up for you this morning here on the program. We've got a lot to get to. Big NFL news concerning the Patriots on two fronts. One, a new quarterback. One, another punishment by the NFL. So we'll talk about that throughout the morning as the Patriots, a third time being docked a draft pick by the NFL and being fined, we shall discuss. Also in 20 minutes, are the Knicks looking foolish again in who they might hire for their head coach and why? Also in 40 minutes this hour, this date in mothership history. Orlando is going to be the site of the NBA bubble. Can it save the Sixers? Can Mickey save the Sixers? Also, Mississippi voted to change its state flag. What was the role that sports played in that? And on Friday, as you may know, I headed down to Baltimore to spend the day with my friend, Little Mo. Mo has been a longtime caller and listener to the DA show. Little Mo is an inspiration for so many, as Little Mo has battled many, many health complications over his young life. But he recently graduated eighth grade, and the city of Baltimore threw him a parade. That's how special and how popular this young man is. At 14 years old, he already has so many people he doesn't even know who know him and are inspired by him. So it was a truly beautiful gift of a day that I got to spend with Little Mo. I wanted to celebrate graduating middle school with him as well on Friday. And I got a chance to do an interview with Little Mo that I recorded, so that we'll play that coming up here on the show at the top of the 9 o'clock Eastern hour. So at around 9 Eastern time, 6 Pacific, I'll play for you my conversation with Little Mo and discuss and let you in on how my weekend went and the type of day that we had, which was just an unbelievable day. So that's going to be a good show coming up over the course of the next 4 hours. As always, we encourage you to get involved as well on the phones. It's a toll-free line at 855-212-4CBS. That's at 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, you can hit me up, DA on CBS. The news of the day is that last night, the New England Patriots announced, or will announce, allow the report to leak. that they have signed Cam Newton to a one-year low-money incentive-laden deal. Now, Cam, of course, didn't have much interest on the open market when free agency rolled around, and now we are nearly into July and he was still available. Why? His health. With the pandemic, teams have been unable to work him out or have him undergo physicals or evaluation from their own medical staffs. Maybe this would be different if this was a normal offseason. Perhaps Cam would be flying and zigzagging across the country and getting a clean medical report from some team's doctors, and maybe he would already been signed. But this offseason, not so much. So the Patriots, being opportunistic as they normally are, saw a undervalued asset in the market and decided to sign said undervalued asset. Could this be a huge win for the Patriots? Could this be a huge win for Cam Newton? Why did Cam ultimately decide on a one-year low-money deal? It is where we begin your cold open.
Cam Newton will drop into the gun with Tolbert to his left. He moves him to his right. On third and goal, Cam Newton will keep soaring for the goal line, and Newton is in for the touchdown. He stuck the ball across the plane of the goal line. It is a touchdown as Superman flies for six.
I think the concern with the injury was always there, but when you look at the deal, it's a one-year deal. Not a lot of money committed to him, so there is some out in case he doesn't respond to treatment. But you hear he's made some good progress. You hear he's going to be okay. And I think that was kind of what's holding the whole thing up.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Kevin Kugler, play-by-play voice of Westwood One, and that was Pete Prisco, NFL insider for CBS Sports HQ. Look, I think this is the proverbial win-win for both sides. For the Patriots, they get a former MVP on short money, and so there's no real risk here, less than $2 million of base pay. So if they bring in Cam Newton, and ultimately he's not very healthy or he's not very effective and he doesn't play much for the Patriots or is simply a backup to Jared Stidham this year, then so what? The Pats only spent less than $2 million to bring in a potential former MVP, a potential starting quarterback, and no harm, no foul for the Pack. So I get it. Does Cam Newton fit football-wise with the offense of the Patriots? Not really, which is why I consistently doubted that this would ever happen, because football-wise, Cam hasn't been the quick drop, the read a million different wide-receiving options, all timing-based, which the Patriots' offensive scheme has been under Brady the last couple of years, and which I assume they wanted Jared Stidham to run at least some type of variation of this upcoming season. But from a football standpoint, what's the risk in bringing in a guy like Cam for less than $2 million if he does end up being healthy and effective? It's a very small risk for the Patriots. So at that point, it's not really that big a deal monetarily if he doesn't fit in football-wise or if he isn't healthy. So you get it from a Patriots standpoint. The bigger question is, for Cam, why take such a little money, small money, one-year deal at this point in your career? And I think ultimately the reason is because of this offseason and nobody being familiar with the free agents out there because you can't bring them in, I think what Cam was doing was saying, you know what, let's mitigate the risk here. I could go through the entire offseason and not have a job because nobody is comfortable with an unknown commodity. And I could go into the season, and again, if the season is maybe slightly discombobulated, maybe there's some games that are canceled, maybe you don't get a full 16-game schedule in, again, I'm not going to be earning any money because there's going to be all of these unknowns around the roster itself, let alone the free agents. So I think Cam said, if I can get a deal now, then let me take the deal now. And for Cam, going to the Patriots means a chance at a successful team. That if there's going to be a rehab for Cam, if there's going to be a hook him up to the rejuvenation machine, if there's going to be a comeback for Cam Newton this season, go to a place where they usually get the most out of veterans. If there's football left in Cam Newton's body, the Patriots will find a way to tap into that. So it's a smart move by Cam. He's not going to a dysfunctional organization that may or may not have a good read on his talent or his skill set or put him in a position to win. If there's going to be a position to succeed, the Patriots will find it with Cam Newton. Here's the risk, is that Cam comes in to New England and actually wins the starting job and is the starter throughout the season, and that he just leaves in a big money deal after the year because he gets a big suitor. I mean, look at what Ryan Tannehill commanded from the Tennessee Titans after basically half a season in Tennessee. If Cam actually plays a full season in New England and looks good, he's going to get big money in the open market, and that's not the type of money the Patriots are usually willing to spend. And so the Patriots could be in this thing for 1 year on Cam. And they could have a good deal today, but it would again just delay the inevitable of finding the long-term replacement at quarterback. So that's the risk, I think, for the Pats. It's not financially. It's actually if this thing works out and he leaves in a big money contract to the offseason next year, you then have wasted this season in not getting Stidham those snaps. But look, maybe that's fine for them because they'll just spin the wheel of quarterback next year as well. But from both sides, I think it makes sense. Cam finds a landing spot that's going to hopefully for him take advantage of his skill set of putting him in a winning position. The Patriots have very little risk here. If Cam Newton's body can't hold up, if he gets injured early in the season, if he's just not that effective, and so Jarrett Stidham is the starting quarterback, they've only spent $2 million to do it. So I think it does make sense on both fronts. One thing I know is that the Patriots absolutely held on to this news until today to swallow up the, yes, we were punished again by the NFL news. As it gets handed down that the NFL, when the Patriots sent their camera crew to Cincinnati to, what? We illegally taped an opponent? We didn't know. That news comes down also last night that the NFL would dock the Patriots a third-round draft pick and fine them more than $1 million and ban that camera crew from being on the road again this season. It just so happened the Patriots announced a sexier, bolder move that will probably consume the day's worth of news around the Patriots. Isn't that interesting how that ended up? You know for a fact the Pats held on to this Cam Newton move until the other news was announced and then said, okay, and let's drop it now. Cam Newton's a Patriot. It's how they do business. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. When I saw this news, I said, my fine fleshy friend can finally put away the tinfoil hat on Trevor Lawrence. For months, the Patriots are tanking. They're trying to be bad. They don't want to win football games because Belichick wants to draft Trevor Lawrence. They're tanking for Trevor. And now they sign Cam Newton potentially to be their starting quarterback. Mraz, you can put away the conspiracy theories. The Patriots aren't trying desperately to lose.
Well, I'm very thankful they did this because this also proves I wasn't so crazy, DA, because to me, everybody was taking the Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer thing at face value and going, well, they're the Patriots. Look, they believe in these guys, and that never sat well with me. I looked at that roster, and I especially looked at a quarterback like Jarrett Stidham, who we don't know enough about, who wasn't highly touted, and thought, there's no way. There's no way they think they could compete like this. Now that they signed Cam Newton, it shows Bill Belichick never truly trusted that situation. They are going all in to try to win games. And, look, if it flops and Cam Newton's not healthy and they're stuck with that situation, well, then the tinfoil hat could come back on, they lose a lot of games, and then maybe they're in the mix for Trevor Lawrence anyway.
You have really graduated to a senior level sports talk host here. You took something that you were obviously blatantly wrong on and spun it into "see how I was right twice."
I never said that, okay?
Twice.
Twice.
See what Mraz just did? What a shell game here. He was extraordinarily wrong on the theory about tanking for Trevor Lawrence. And what Mraz just did was said, "See, I was right. They never trusted Jared Stidham anyway. And if they do lose, I was right. They were trying to lose for Trevor Lawrence."
It all adds up. It all adds up.
No,
that's what's going through my head.
No,
yes,
no, it
doesn't.
Does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. No, they signed Cam Newton because they were never trying to lose a million games for Trevor Lawrence.
I agree.
You were wrong.
But I guess my right theory was, my theory on why the heck would they be going Jared Stidham led me down the Trevor Lawrence road. And they very clearly never trusted it. D.A., how many guests have we had on from Boston that kept saying, no, they love this room with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer? I mean, we've had, I feel like, 5 NFL guests in this pandemic say that. And every time we had him on, I sat there, and it only confused me more. And that's what led me down the Trevor Lawrence tanking road, because that never made sense. And very clearly, we see reports this morning that Bill Belichick's been calling about Cam Newton and getting information for weeks, if not months now. So, again, it shows me Bill Belichick was playing the hoodwinked game. Everybody didn't know until today. All of a sudden, he's been calling around for this long. He's wanted Cam Newton and wanted a better quarterback situation for a long time.
Yeah, every time we had anybody that came on that loved Jared Stidham or told us that they loved Jared Stidham, we both rolled our eyes.
No
We're
way.
Like, come on, are you kidding me? There's no way that Belichick absolutely, quote, loves Jared Stidham. But it does go to show you that going into this season, their intent was not to make sure they were bad.
Then I will admit that. I will admit that.
Okay. Now, here's the question, since we, of course, as a DA show, have a overwhelming loathing of the Patriots. Are we okay with Cam now? Do we actually kind of root for Cam Newton? Or is it that we hope that Cam fails just like everybody else with the Patriots?
So Bogus tweeted this last night. It actually made me a little sick. I personally like Cam Newton. I've always liked Cam Newton because of the handing the football to the kid thing. That being said, no, Cam Newton's the enemy now. There's no way I root for Cam Newton in a Patriot uniform. There's no way I sit there going, now I like a Patriot quarterback. No. The Patriots have seen another success. The last thing we want is now a seamless transition where Cam Newton becomes MVP Cam Newton again, and they're in Super Bowls.
Right.
No, go away. Right. I hope Cam Newton is good enough to tease them into the middle ground where they're not getting a great quarterback and they're not successful to winning Super Bowls. That's what. So if what we're rooting for Cam Newton for is to win 8-9 games, then I'm on board. But I'm certainly not rooting for Cam Newton to be this MVP success story and they go 14-2. No chance.
Yeah, I think best case scenario is that Cam Newton goes 10-6. That's not good enough to even make the playoffs because the Bills go 11-5 or something, win the division. 10-6 doesn't get them into the wild card. But Cam has a good enough season to where he gets signed by somebody else in the offseason next year.
Right.
And then the Patriots are back to square one with Jared Stidham or whatever garbage quarterback that they have to deal with.
Exactly. And by the way, I know we have plenty to get to with the Patriots. I just want one more statement on the record. Last night on Twitter after the sign came down, can you explain to me when the Buffalo Bills became the 85 Bears? I mean, everybody. Oh, the Bills are still how great are the Bills? Can we pump the brake on the Buffalo Bills a little bit here?
Interesting about the Bills is that they have such a vocal fan base that have been so desperate for winning for years that the Bills fan base has been overly optimistic about their chances and the Patriots kind of fading back. So Bills fans, Bills Mafia on Twitter has been unbelievably verbal, which you could understand. I think the problem is there's obviously national media that is placating to that fan base because they're very vocal, and so there's been national media bending over backwards to give the Bills more credit than they've earned thus far.
Exactly. I'm reading this list, and I go, what did I miss on the Bills? I mean, they threw up all over themselves versus the Texans. Now everybody loves them.
Look, there is nothing that I would love better than the Buffalo Bills dominating this division over the next 10 years. That would be amazing. But it is very premature to simply assume that the Bills are just going to run roughshod of the AFC East now and own it for the next 10 years. I'd love to see it happen, but we are well premature of making that some type of declarative statement here.
For sure.
When we come back here on the show, just so you know, the Knicks are really interested in Giannis. It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
glitch in the simulation.
Oh, shut up, Pete. You know what? Take a lap. Shut up. No. Shut up. Everybody was talking. I got interviews. I got boxes of chocolates. I got teddy bears. Nah, 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 nah. 11-10.
There it is.
You got to shut up once in a while.
How about you shut up
You
once
don't know
in
how
a while.
To shut up.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Everybody, just shut up. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. You could use the hashtag AskThePros to be listening later on to the show. One will answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Now you can listen to us in podcast form. Full episodes are available in podcast, as are the best of every single show. So go to your favorite podcast platform. That includes Apple Podcasts or Radio.com or Stitcher or Spotify. Search the DA Show and get full episodes every single day, full hours, anything that you may have missed, and also the best of the show as well in condensed fashion. So in the grand scheme of Knicks off seasons centered around landing a superstar, this upcoming offseason might not even make the top five. I mean, because they've been trying this forever. And the next two offseasons, really. They've been trying at this game forever. And really, thank goodness for the Knicks, because it's just sports comedy for us. We know we can just sit back and laugh at things like this. We know that every single year it's the same bit. Knicks lure a GM or hire a head coach that they believe will land them the big fish in free agency. And one thing that I think that perhaps the Knicks don't understand, namely James Dolan, is that nobody wants to play for your team. Nobody wants to play for you. I know it's hard to imagine because you're supposedly the mecca of basketball, because you're in a sold-out Madison Square Garden, Broadway, Radio City, lights, camera, action. But here's the thing. Very obviously, players don't want to play for you, because year after year after year, they have the opportunity to do so. And year after year after year, they continually say thanks, but no thanks. Aside from Carmelo Anthony, there has not been a player in 15 years, 20 years of note, that said, I'm going to play in New York. I can't wait to play for the Knicks. Amari Stoudemire comes closest. Amari was the one that kind of opened up the door for Carmelo Anthony. But Amari Stoudemire at any given point in time was probably not a top 10 player in the NBA, even at his absolute best. And if he was, he was right around 9 or 10. So you're basically saying a top 10 player free agency-wise has not chosen the Knicks aside from Carmelo for 20 years. So I don't know why they would start now, considering, well, they're still the number one market. They still have Madison Square Garden, but they stink. So the potential draws of landing or a reason to play in New York have been there for 20 years, but nobody's actually taken the bait, and they stink. And they stink. So here is the newest report, is that Jason Kidd could be in the sights for the Knicks, because Jason Kidd has a relationship with Giannis from his time coaching the Bucks. Jason Kidd is now an assistant coach with the Lakers. As a head coach, he's been largely underwhelming, just over 500 with the Brooklyn Nets, and sub 500 with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Knicks reportedly believe that Jason Kidd could help them lure Giannis in the summer of 2021. Oh my goodness, could this just be absolutely amazing? If the Knicks, through all of this and their 11-man candidacy for the head coaching job, land on retread third job Jason Kidd, who, by the way, wasn't he with the Knicks when he got the Dewey? Wasn't that like one of his first Welcome to New York moments when Jason Kidd got a DUI on Long Island, I believe it was, like 48 hours into his Knicks tenure after he had signed? Wouldn't it be great if the Knicks had identified 11 different candidates for their head coaching job, said thanks but no thanks to all of them, and took Jason Kidd, whose most famous moment in a Knicks uniform was getting a Dewey, with the hopes that he delivered Giannis 2 years from now? It'd be the most Knicks thing ever, which I think at this point we have to hope for now. Yes, absolutely. Hire J. Kidd. Roll the dice, Knicks. Let's see how that goes. I'd like to see. I'd like to see where you stand when you hire Jason Kidd and then Giannis signs his extension with the Bucks, and then you're stuck with Jason Kidd. Marais, this is just the most Knicks story of all time.
And again, we've made the joke every day where Bogus pops on in his update and we have another candidate interviewing for the Knicks job. And the idea that they could interview this many people, 11 people, and come back to the fact that, you know where Jason Kidd helps here, is he could really lure a free agent. It just shows, again, it is so backwards and behind everything the Knicks should be doing and everything they should be looking at across the NBA, and the fact that they never develop their own talent. They have a young guy in RJ Barrett here. They still have Frank Ntilikina. I mean, they can't figure this out that, hey, maybe with some of these young guys we have, we need to figure out what they are and actually find coaches that get the most out of them, not buy a lottery ticket with a head coach who won't do that for these guys and may at best 30% bring that free agent. How do you operate a team that way? How do you even think that that's the logical move? And the fact that this story is even out and getting leaked, that that's what they want Jason Kidd for, already tells me no matter what the Knicks do with a hire here, they have made a mistake, because that is their mindset no matter what.
Also, does anybody remember how badly Jason Kidd underutilized Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee?
There's no reason he's not still the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. And by the way, to get to Milwaukee, he flat left the team he's a legend for, the Nets, who were building something at the time, to get there. So you can't even trust the weasel anyway.
When he was in Milwaukee, he didn't allow Giannis to stretch the floor, wouldn't let him take threes, did not maximize his skill set,
right,
wanted to pound him down low the moment Jason Kidd left and Budenholzer came in. The Bucks immediately became one of the best teams in basketball, all because of how the head coach utilized Giannis. So the Knicks are like, yeah, you know what's a good idea? Why don't we hire the guy who almost derailed Giannis Antetokounmpo's career to be our head coach? Because maybe we can lure Giannis.
Yeah, under Jason Kidd, Giannis was just Greek. Under Budenholzer, he became the Greek freak. There's a big difference.
Yeah. With Jason Kidd, Giannis was the gyro. Now he's the Greek. He's the Greek freak, a two-time MVP. Just awesome. Just awesome. You can always hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. A kind sir by the name of Andrew Bogus decided to regale us with headlines this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning. Welcome back. Our first headlines of the week are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Like you, DA, I will never be convinced that last night was just a coincidence, that the Patriots just happened to leak their signing of Cam Newton as the NFL was about to announce their punishment for illegally videotaping the Bengals sideline during a game in Cleveland back in December. That deal with Cam said it'd be a one-year package worth up to $7.5 million. It's apparently been in the works for a while now, But again, just last night, it was okay to whisper to people that it was coming. As for that production crew that was filming Do Your Job by shooting from the Browns press box, the team fined $1.1 million and docked its third-round pick in the spring. And David Mondillo from the crew is now banned from NFL facilities indefinitely. He was originally suspended by the team, then fired.
How about
Mondillo
that?
Is a supervising producer for Kraft Sports.
So the NFL found the Patriots guilty enough to ban one of their camera crew guys for the rest of his career. Is that right?
I mean, just as until further notice. So I don't know if you can ask to get back in, but it's not forever, ever, but it's like it could be forever.
I mean, if you ever doubted that the Patriots were looking to consistently skirt the rules, even now, like the idea that, oh, the Patriots have been caught red-handed so many times, they would never challenge it now, or that whole notion that came out last year, well, they were punished so badly with Spygate, why would they possibly do anything now? They will all, there is no way to dissuade them from trying to cheat. There is no punishment that is possible on earth. The death penalty wouldn't be strong enough to dissuade Bill Belichick from trying to gain an advantage illegally.
Yeah, and by the way, you want a good documentary in 10 years? I want this guy. I want Jastrzemski. I want everybody that's been rolled over that Patriot bus who gets banished and sent away while Belichick keeps trucking. I want them on record after Belichick retires and the fear is gone. What happened here?
Yep. All of the formerly employed staffers around the Patriots that have been sent, you know, into exile, into Siberia, so that they wouldn't speak because they carried out Belichick's henchmen, you know, jobs.
Yeah, but is that 30 for 30, how they're all living in these huge, lush mansions behind gates because the Kraft empire has completely funded the rest of their life for their silence? That could
definitely
be the documentary.
Yeah, there's a Patriots witness protection program somewhere out in the desert where they all live in this little gated community. Yeah.
The Mississippi, by the way, Cap has some split screen of me and I don't know who, and it's right in the middle of my screen, and I can't read my script because it's like taunting me on watchtheaid.com. I'm going to cover it so I can actually concentrate.
A couple of years ago, a very popular social media meme was to take a snapshot of yourself, and then this app would tell you what person throughout history you look like. And for you, Bogues, it was some like royal English heir to the throne from the 1500s or so. So
J.J. Devaney.
So yeah, that's exactly right. So Cap has the side by side and it says royalty incarnate. And so it's a face of Bogues and a face of this king or this poet from the 1500s. And I got to say, Bogues, you look pretty royal there.
Yeah, and then at the bottom is me gargling, I think, chocolate milk post hot salsa in a bunny costume. So again, I'm just being taunted by Cap's graphics trying to read serious news to you people, like the Mississippi House and Senate voting to change the state flag, which, as we discussed, includes the Confederate flag. All that's left now is a signature from Governor Tate Reeves. Then voters pick the new design in November. All of this following pressure from Mississippi State running back Kylan Hill, the NCAA, and the SEC. For the first time ever, the same track held three top-level NASCAR races on the same day yesterday. Brandon Jones won the Truck Series race in the morning, then Chase Briscoe won the Xfinity race, then Denny Hamlin beat Mother Nature in the Cup Series at Pocono.
Denny Hamlin is going to tie Jeff Gordon as the all-time Pocono winner with six checkered flags at the Tricky Triangle.
The Tricky Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Has all sorts of different variations. So that's my joy on FS1. Hamlin winning as they ran out of daylight at a track without lights, partly because there was a 50-minute weather delay early in the race. For Hamlin, it's his 41st career win, and as Mike Joy mentioned, he matches Jeff Gordon with three wins at Pocono. Yesterday was the deadline for MLB teams to set their 60-player pools for summer camps, which begin on Wednesday. Many teams included some of their top prospects, more so to get them a few months of training and development than actually getting into a big league game at some point. MLS says it has 26 more COVID-19 positives. 18 players, 6 staff members have tested positive in their home markets. Only 2 did so after getting to Orlando for their restart. There are just 5 teams teams there at the moment, MLS providing no names nor how many others may be in isolation because of contact tracing. Nets forward Wilson Chandler's opting out of Disney to spend more time with his family, and golfer Dylan Fertitta tested positive for coronavirus ahead of boarding the tour's charter to this week's event in Detroit. Fertitta missed the cut of the Travelers Championship. He now goes into isolation. Dustin Johnson, meanwhile, won the event by a shot over Kevin Streelman. It's DJ's first win since March 2019. And quickly back to soccer, Man U and Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal paired up for the FA Cup semifinals, which will be played July 18th and 19th. For those not in the know, the FA Cup is the oldest national soccer championship in the world, dating back to 1871. It is open to all of England's 92 pro clubs. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues, and congratulations to Liverpool. The inevitable becomes a reality as they clinch the Premier League championship, and they still have many weeks to go here for the rest of the Premier League, but that's how dominant Liverpool was this year. That was an amazing season for them. They had not won in 30 years, so they're kind of like the equivalent of the Dallas Cowboys. They were great in the 70s and 80s. They won their last Premier League championship in 1990 and then had gone 30 years without winning the championship, and then finally got over the hump this year after the restart. It was very classic Liverpool that they had this runaway freight train of a season, and then it was totally shut down by pandemic. But, of course, Premier League is back playing. Liverpool is clinched. There's many weeks to go, and there is no playoff in the Premier League. So that was just their championship. So an amazing run by Liverpool. Congratulations to the Reds. When we come back here on the show, we've got your This Date in Mothership History moment, which includes Mraz going postal on me after I dared to question putting pictures of your pet on social media. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's This Date in Mothership History.
So on this date 3 years ago, June the 29th, 2017, my trash was people that go overboard posting their pets on social media. And boy, did Mraz get perturbed by that. Here's This Date in Mothership History. The dog is just worrying about, when do I eat, where do I poop? When do I eat, where do I poop? And I got a picture of these damn dogs on every feed from everybody I follow. It's just too much, this affection for dogs. I get it. I like dogs. I don't get having your life revolve around dogs and the pictures of the dogs and publicly posing the picture of the dogs. It's the same thing with babies. Every baby looks the same. I'm sorry, your baby's not that interesting. The baby doesn't say anything. The baby hasn't accomplished anything. The baby's not changing. The baby is just a baby. I can't take the dog Twitter. I can't take the baby Twitter. I'm sorry, Mraz. I can't do it.
Epic trash job.
You are heartless,
yeah,
gutless, and soulless. And I'm going to just tell you this right now because you're not thinking big picture here. A dog is man's best friend. That saying exists for a reason. A dog is now a part of your family. But unlike us humans that can live to 60, 70, 80, 90, these dogs have 10 years lifespan. If you're lucky, 15 years, in some cases 17 years. You better soak up every opportunity to have a picture with those dogs, because guess what? When they're dead and they're thrown in that incinerator at the animal hospital, all you're going to have is those pictures to scroll through on your phone of them eating a snack, of them eating on the beach, and you're going to cry and reminisce and remember. That's how you remember your dog in those happy moments, whether they realize they're taking those pictures or not. If you only have one or maybe two pictures of those dogs, guess what? You didn't enjoy their life. So I'm sorry that you're not Mr. Dog Person. I'm sorry that you have no freaking heart. But how dare you go after people that like dogs that much? Because it's about them and it's about remembering
like
them when they're
the
gone.
Like the dogs all you want. Keep the pictures to yourself. Why does everybody else have to see your
you
damn
pictures?
You know why?
Because it's 2017 and nobody's got the freaking dispensing
keep
Polaroid
camera.
Keep
your own pictures on your phone.
And then
scroll
what if they get deleted? Scroll. What if you drop your phone in an ocean? What if your memory card is shot? You got to upload them.
Oh, that's your fault. That's not my fault.
Facebook
is
fault.
No, Facebook, Instagram,
upload
and Twitter,
them to your computer.
Twitter, they're the and what if your house goes on fire and your computer burns
so
to the
Twitter,
ground?
So,
they need to exist
so
on the cloud.
Twitter and Instagram is where you're going to keep all the pictures for the rest of your life of everybody.
That's where everybody.
I don't see you taking a picture of your dad every single day. Your dad's going to die before your dog dies.
I got enough pictures of Pops, and I got enough, and I have 80 years. Hopefully, I can live with Pops, and I can understand where he's at.
We don't care about your dogs.
Okay, so then delete the dog people then. And stop trashing them, because it ain't right. They only got so little time with their dogs, and you're ruining them.
Why can't
your girlfriend has dash hounds that climb ramps like they're Tony Hawk, and you're going to bash her for taking pictures? That ain't right, man.
You think I like them?
Yeah, but you should, because they're beautiful little pinching hounds.
Hell hath no fury, quite like Mraz in challenging him on dog pictures, which is pretty amazing because the only thing that has superseded pictures of Eli on his social media feeds has been pictures of his baby. He is squarely in what my trash was, the target of my trash 3 years ago. It is all of the people that incessantly post pictures of their pets and their babies, their pets and their babies. And look, here's the harsh truth, everybody. I mean, look, this is just the harsh truth. Largely, we don't care about your baby or your pet. We hit like because we're supposed to hit like on those pictures. You know, by and large, we just don't care that much because everybody's got a baby and everybody's got a pet. And look, I have done the same thing. I have absolutely posted a picture of Rosie the cat, and I realize what I'm doing is that most people don't care about Rosie the cat, but they're going to hit like because that's the polite thing to do on babies and cats, babies and dogs, dogs and babies. It's just what we do. It's what society does.
Honor should be for babies, top to bottom, but it's not my fault.
And social media can be really terrible and really negative, so I do think that a sprinkling of a baby here, a dog there, a cat there is helpful to bring people's spirits up. I mean, people are attracted to YouTube videos of cats and dogs and babies. And so, you know, there certainly is a value here. But we just don't care about your babies or your dogs the same way that you think we do. And you care because they're your babies and your dogs and your cats. And this is who your life is. And this is what your life revolves around. And you think that they're the most beautiful creature ever. And the babies and the dogs and the cats, they just bring so much joy to your life. And I get it. I love Rosie the cat. She brings incredible joy to my life. Incredible joy to my life. Really, truly. I mean, I wake up and I'm so happy to see her and we go away and we come back and, you know, I miss her for those couple days. I get it. But I know that nobody cares about Rosie the cat the same way I do. So, you know, the unfortunate truth is that we all hit like on these things because we're supposed to. It doesn't really mean people care that much about your babies and your cats and your dogs. And It's such a plague. It's just such a social media plague that everybody just posts like a picture every day of their dog or of their baby or their cat. Like, we just don't care that much. We don't even care enough about the subject, like the person that is tweeting that or putting it on Instagram. We don't even care that much to see them every day, let alone their babies or their dogs or their cats every single day.
I think you're missing the point, DA, and the point is there are no more actual photo albums, so by posting on Instagram or Facebook, it is maybe not for everybody to like necessarily, but also for you to keep these pictures in some sort of cloud as it goes on, because nobody has the stupid scrapbooks of the kids growing up anymore, and this is a way to reflect. You could click back years on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. The times in which we keep pictures have changed. It's all digitized, but it is public for everybody to like as well. It's not about the likes.
Do you still have your MySpace page?
I do not. That's different.
No, because one day Facebook or Twitter or Instagram is not going to exist, and then you won't have those pictures either.
Oh, they're existing forever.
Wrong.
Forever.
That's a hard wrong right there.
No way.
When you are 80 and you want to see pictures of your dog, guess what? Instagram ain't going to be around. I hate to break it to you, but it ain't going to be around. When we come back, Tom Brady versus the Union?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.